All right, Root Magazine talking to attorney Ben Crump. Now, Mr. Crump, you have been on the front lines for years now, probably a little over a decade. And I guess the first question I want to start with is we've been marching, we've been protesting, we've been reposting videos, I guess voting in midterm elections. And it seems like nothing is happening regarding, I guess, police brutality, especially with regards to our black brothers and sisters. Is that something that's maybe, I guess, over-dramatized on media? You know, the media has a way of making it seem like, you know, I guess for us to live in fear, right? But is it over-dramatized, or is it a real problem that needs to be solved?
Well, I don't think it's over-dramatized. In fact, I think it's under-dramatized, Hassan, in the sense that it has always been here. Police brutality in America is as old as apple pie and baseball when it comes to black people. It's far much older. The history of policing in America, as you know, was based on the slave patrol. Mm-hmm. That's how policing started in America. And so I think it's under-dramatized in the sense that for every Trayvon Martin, for every Michael Brown in Ferguson, for every Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, every Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa, Oklahoma, every Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Ohio, every Raquel Boyd in Chicago, every Natasha McKinney in Virginia, Alicia Thomas in Los Angeles. For every one of them, there are at least 50 of them that you would never know about.
Wow.
Because it's happening in towns and cities in every state in America.
Wow.
So we have much work to do, and people who say, woes is me, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, we don't need those type of people speaking for us, because we have to continue to stand up and speak up and fight for our children. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know you worked very closely on the Trayvon Martin case. And, you know, I thought that was a clear-cut win. I mean, you have a young 17-year-old boy who's minding his business, walking home, and he's being approached by an elder. And the elder kills him because he feared for his life. The life that he, you know, quote, unquote, put on the line. They told him not to go towards him, you know, when he called 911. All of these things. Yet he still gets off. Why do you think that is? Like, how does that happen?
Well, it's important to know that we got a whole lot of district attorneys accountable. You know, in all of these cases, Trayvon and all of them, it's the elected DA is the only person that can charge and convict somebody of a crime. You know, we were the civil lawyers. Many people get that confused. We won our case. We got Trayvon's family a lot of money. We helped make it the number one news story in the world. We did everything we could humanly do as a private citizen attorney. It's the government lawyers are the only ones who can convict people of a crime. And so people have to understand that, you know, these local races matter. You have to make sure that if these people don't stand up for your values and your causes and your families in these communities, they need to vote them out of office. Other than that, people are going to say they must be okay with it.
Okay.
You know?
So voting is very important. That's the important part, the voting these elected officials.
Voting is incredibly important, because the individuals who are in office can make a world of difference. Just think about it as it relates to the presidency of the United States, with having Barack Obama or Donald Trump as president. It makes a huge difference who's in office.
Sure, sure. Now, you know, looking at these cases, I mean, how is the Trayvon Martin case different from, say, the Marissa Alexander case? You know, you look at those cases, then they look parallel. Yet she gets almost 6 years for for shooting a warning shot. Like, stuff like this. I'm like, how is this happening?
It's called an intellectual justification of discrimination, a term I normally use when I go around the country speaking in at law schools and colleges and things, because it's very real how you can close your eyes and you can literally just listening, tell who is the race and ethnicity of the suspect and the alleged victim just by how they're described in the media and described by the prosecutors.
Absolutely.
And I think about all these mass murder young white men. They are mentally ill. They are having challenges with their competency versus black men who are charged with crimes are accused of things. They dare say that they are animals. They are evil. They're nefarious. And so you can tell by how the system defines us what is likely the outcome. When you think of Marissa Alexander, this black woman shot the water shot, and when she says stand your ground, it don't work. But when white people shoot and kill us, and they say stand your ground, then everybody say, oh yeah, the black person had him in fear of his life. It's a hypocrisy, and it's the intellectual justification of discrimination.
Right. How do you see? Do you foresee police officers ever getting convicted of killing unarmed black people? Like, are there cases we just don't know about that it has happened? Those numbers are startling.
It has always been like this, Hassan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout the history of America.
Wow. Wow. Now, you have a new show, Evidence of Innocence. It's a 4-part docuseries on TV One. Tell us about your involvement with this show and why is it important?
It's very important, and I'm very thankful to TV One and executive producer Rashawn McDonald, as well as Jupiter Entertainment, for allowing me to do a show that tries to educate people on how cruel the criminal justice system can be to people of color, but also to tell these inspirational stories how these individuals who were wrongfully convicted and exonerated of clear and convincing evidence and DNA evidence who was completely 100% innocent, but yet they spent 10, 20, 30 years in prison for crimes they didn't commit. I mean, you have people who went into prison when they were 18 years old and came out when they were 47. Their whole life inside an 8x10 cage for a crime they didn't commit. And so these were the people, Hassan, who, these black people,
who the criminal justice system has defined as the worst amongst society, but it turned out they end up being the best amongst society because after being wrongfully incarcerated all those years, they didn't come out with hatred and bitterness. They came out and said, it was hate that put me in prison wrongfully. It was love that got me out. And hate is its own kind of prison. And I'm not going to be in prison anymore. And so they said, I'm going to be productive, contributing members of society, and more importantly, of my family, with this precious time that I now have back. And those are the stories that we highlight, the fact that how the system got it wrong, but yet their families and their loved ones never gave up on them and their faith. I mean, can you imagine being in a prison
I can't.
For a crime you didn't commit?
I can't.
And you're innocent and you know you didn't have alibi with this man, babe, but it don't matter, Hassan, because as I say in the show and as I say at colleges and speeches all across America, the easiest thing in the American criminal justice system to do is to convict a black or a brown person of a crime. I mean, you don't have to have any evidence at all.
Yeah.
It could be an innuendo. You fit the description. That's enough. And that happens every day in America. The Innocence Project and other social justice institutions believe that there are 100,000 people sitting in American prisons who are completely innocent. And unfortunately, most of those on the largest percentage basis is African American men.
Wow. Wow.
So that, and I will say this, the other thing why I do this show is because I'm trying to affect the hearts and minds of future prospective jurors.
Okay.
People who will serve on these juries who will watch this show. This show is different from any other show that's out there in this world of legal crime reenactment shows. You know, most of the shows are predicated, whether it be Law and Order or the Forensic Files, any of these things are predicated on lock them up and throw away the key.
Mm-hmm.
Where evidence of innocence is predicated on defining justice as searching for the truth and getting people out of prison. And so that's what we're hoping for. People will watch the show, and next time they're serving on a jury, that they won't be so apt to believe the police and the prosecutors and everything they say is the gospel, and the poor people of color as being unbelievable when they say I didn't do it.
Right, right. Wow. Well, we definitely look forward to this. It airs on June 4th on TV1. It's a 4-part docuseries. Benjamin Crump, thank you so much, man. We really appreciate you being out there on the front line, getting justice for our black and brown people.
Hey, we all in this together, Hassan. And thank you so much for what you do. Like Dr. King said, we all got a role to play.
Absolutely, man. All right. Have a great one.
You too, Hassan. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.